Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've tuned in today. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on what I believe to be a very important issue. We're talking about today, let's focus on our priorities. What would you consider a priority for this new year? What are your priorities? How should we determine our priorities? Should our priorities be focused on what's taking place in the Beltway of Washington? Should our focus be on the political affairs? Should our focus be on spiritual things? I'm asking a variety of questions today in relationship to that, hoping that it will cause you to think and ponder, what are your priorities? Dr. Phelps is with me today as we talk about this. Dr. Phelps, you've heard the dialogue and discussion thus far with those that have called in. You understand what we're faced with the potential in D.C. from the standpoint of certifying President Donald J. Trump and seating him so he can get started. Our focus is there. We should be concerned about it. But are there priorities that should supersede that we see taking place on the political level?
Yes, I think so. I believe that there needs to be a turning to God in national repentance.
Mm-hmm.
As Christians, we need to be concerned about turning to God, relying completely upon Him, and praying earnestly for our country, for our leaders, for our churches, for our homes, for our families, and for the safety of our country.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, as I look at again, and for the benefit of our listeners, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We need to focus on priorities. And the priority, I believe, just as when the children of Israel were embanked on the Jordan River waiting to cross over to go into the Promised Land, they were told to wait, watch as the priests were carrying the ark, and as the ark was to be carried, they were to focus on the ark representing God Himself. That's the focus. And I believe that same focus we ought to have today is focusing on God, the realization and the recognition that we're going to find a lot of things taking place in the next 20 days in particular. Then after ultimately President Donald J. Trump is seated in the Oval Office as president, we're still going to see some major confusing, frustrating, chaotic days, in my opinion. If we thought we had chaos when Trump was in office after he was elected in 2016, if we think that it was a chaotic time with their attempts to impeach him, with their attempts to make accusations and use lawfare against him, and Trump has gone through that now for about 10 years since he announced his running for office. It's been about 10 years. If we think that was bad, if we think the trail is blooded with attempts to destroy Trump's life, as old cliche goes, we ain't seen anything yet. And I'm not saying that in a negative sense. I believe that as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to wake up, look up, and smell the coffee and understand that we're about to enter into some very chaotic, confusing days of battle with the, I call it the battle, which is God against Satan being played out in human form. But Dr. Phelps, I'm looking at a headline that says, Obama allies push Raskin, that's Jamie Raskin's plan, for Congress to nullify the election and install Kamala Harris as president. I want people to listen for that a moment. Obama allies are pushing Raskin, that's Jamie Raskin, his plan for Congress to nullify the election, that's Trump's election, and install Kamala Harris. This article reads in parts dated December 26, 2024. Despite spending years complaining about threats to democracy, Democrats are scheming to thwart the collective will of almost 80 million Americans who voted for President-elect Donald J. Trump in a fair and free election. December 26 op-ed, The Hill, titled, Congress has the power, this is the title of an op-ed in The Hill, that is the publication. Congress has the power to block Trump from taking office, but lawmakers must act now. The former Democratic president of the New York City Bar Association, Evan Davis, in echoing Jamie Raskin's Democrat of Maryland, February calls for Congress to block Trump from taking office. Now, he's been elected, ladies and gentlemen, by not just the Electoral College vote, but also the popular vote. And yet there's the move to somehow, some way think that Congress has the power, and they do, if they act according to that which the Democrats want rather than what is constitutional and correct. But we stand to lose the liberty that God has given us, and I believe our priorities ought to recognize that and focus on seeking God, turning to God, asking God to give us liberty and victory. Dr. Phelps, how would you further explain what ought to be the priorities for Americans? In general, the priority is seeking God. In general, the priority is recognizing God as being the owner and control of this whole world. How would you break that down in everyday life and living instructions and recommendations for our listeners?
Well, one of the things that I've come to realize is that many people are not seeking God. Many Americans who claim to be Christians do not practice what the scriptures teach, and that is to seek the face of God. And there needs to be repentance on the part of the people of God as well. There's a Old Testament book of the Bible called the Book of Job. And in that book, we find the story of a man who was righteous,
right,
but he needed to repent. Many of us as Americans do not consider that there are things that of which we need to repent. There are things that in our lives that we're practicing that need to be changed. God works through prayer, and until there is real repentance on the part of Christians in America, turning to God and forsaking the things of the world, turning to God from the multitude of things in the world that are attractive to us, then God will not hear. God responds to a repentant heart. And so we need to turn our attention upon prayer and repentance toward God. You remember that Jesus told the very religious people of his day when he was here on earth as he was ministering, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Mm-hmm. He was talking to religious people. And the problem was that they had drifted away from God. They had just simply backslidden. Mm-hmm. They had entered into religion without God. And many people are that way today in our country. America seems to be very religious, and that is true. And there are many, of course, wonderful and great Christians in our country, many great churches in our country. But there needs to be a turning to God from idolatry, a turning back to God. We have turned away from God. We need to turn back to God. and be involved in His Word, studying His Word, allowing the Word of God to transform our lives, and spending time in prayer and seeing the change that could happen in our own lives and the lives of our families and in our churches today. Our churches need to repent.
Yes.
So we need a real turning to God from idols.
Absolutely. In fact, you say our churches need to repent. I'm looking at a headline, "Why We Don't Need to Re-envision the Church." The article reads, "There are people today who say we need to re-envision the way we do church." No, we do not. We don't need to redefine what God already has defined. We want to go back to the church that Jesus Himself started. The first century church turned the world upside down because it was healthy, it was vibrant, it was alive, and among other things, it was a learning church. So what you're saying falls into the category of what I think we need to recognize and follow up on, and that is to turn back to God. We don't need to reinvent the way we do church. I'm always amazed, saddened, and concerned when we see these, I call them the pop-up churches with the pop-up preachers with the pop-up theology, the goosebump cotton candy theology, and all blended together. It's voodoo theology, as I call it. And yet we find today there is a mindset that all of the conservative churches, all of the churches that simply stand on expository preaching and training in the Word of God, there's a mindset that we're the old fogies and that we need to change some way and re-envision church. I believe we need to go back to the fundamentals of the New Testament church of yesterday year and seek God, turn to God, and ask God to heal our land. Part of that being, I'm looking at the headline that says, "Bible in Schools, the Fight to Teach Our Kids America's True History." The article reads, "Ryan Walters, Oklahoma State Superintendent of Schools, reveals the shocking truth about what's really happening in our schools. He exposes the brokenness in education system where woke ideologies are prioritized over real learning and teachers' unions work against parents and students. He unmasked the deliberate erasure of America's Judeo-Christian heritage and the refusal to teach Bible's undeniable role in shaping our nation. He champions the urgent need to get the Bible back into our classrooms to give students a true understanding of history." What are your thoughts, just briefly, before we take our next caller? Dr. Phelps, what are your thoughts? Should we have Bible back in the classroom? Will that help change the direction of America? Will that be a benefit to our nation so that the students are taught biblical history, the fundamental foundational truth of the Word of God? Is that good or bad?
I think there needs to be a return to old-fashioned education.
Mm-hmm.
Since 1929, our schools have been introducing many of the Marxist ideas, socialism, and things other than real education. Many of our students are exposed to many of the ideas and thoughts of socialism, communism, Marxism, and the teachers likewise in our universities receive the same kind of training.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers who are being graduated from our colleges are leaving the college with that mentality, and therefore the children then receive the same kind of teaching that they received. Many of our universities are filled with people who are un-American and who do not love God, do not love our country, and that same kind of thinking then is brought to the classroom.
Absolutely. And Dr. Phelps, it's bad enough to be in the secular classrooms in our public school and educational system, but some of these same universities, some of these same schools have trained pastors, and the pastors are standing in their pulpits and teaching false theology and going in a direction that's antithetical to the Word of God. For example, we have pastors today that think that it's all right for sodomite marriages. We have pastors today that are engaged in and embracing the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. We have pastors today that will go into abortion clinics and bless the abortion clinics for the murder of babies. So we have a major need today to turn back to God, to turn back to the Word of God, and to re-educate our kids in the public school system as to what the Bible is about and the historical roots and the foundation and the fundamentals of our church is today. You used the term a little earlier, a few minutes ago, we need to turn back to God. We need to have revival. We need to go back to the fundamental roots. I believe that's exactly the need today. I believe that summarizes it all. I believe we have John on the line. John, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you for your ministry. And anyway, I was thinking, if we hadn't gone through the last 4 years, I don't think we'd be so much aware of all the stuff that was going on. Because I think that if President Trump had not been the president and had not been not part of the establishment, and we had just had whoever elected, we'd be just going along the same thing, kind of like the frogs in the pot type of a thing. I think because of him making a difference as far as seeing what a politician is and seeing what somebody who somebody is that actually cares about our country, things started changing. I'm 74, been voting since I was 18. Never heard Amen. I should vote for someone that has a biblical worldview. Now, I don't recall that ever being said on radios from the pulpit of churches that had been kind of leaning away from making a stand to where they were actually coming out and saying, okay, nobody's a perfect person. So what we want to do, though, is we want to align ourselves with someone that has a biblical worldview. And so I think it was like an awakening for things that are being called out now, that actually somebody that's coming into office that says, we're going to get away from the woke stuff. The media said, now, I might be naive, but it's looking like maybe the media is kind of turning a little bit away also, and I know that the end is still going to be coming, and that there is going to be try and have a one-world government, and there is going to be Armageddon, and Jesus Christ is coming back. But it's just, it almost seems like, in a way, there's been a little bit of a stall, in a way, with spiritual revival. I actually, after this election, because I believe it, well, God actually controls everybody. There's a book that we just recently finished in a Bible study, Heaven Rules is the name of it, and it's that God was control, even when President Biden or whoever else is president, God places that person there for whatever reason. But it's just now that we've got what's happening with President Trump, and it's not him. God's using him, so that it almost seems like there is kind of an awakening to things that I'm saying to myself, okay, this is a miracle that took place. So what we need to do, I see God working in a pot, in a all... Okay, when Biden was there, it was like, oh, man, I can't believe this is happening. But almost it's like, oh, man, I can't believe. If we had had anybody else as the president, maybe we wouldn't be where we're at right this very second. So that I'm hoping, I'm being optimistic that that there is going to be a turning right now. And that because there are so many things that are being brought out about how things were taught in the schools, the preachers that are talking from the pulpit. I had someone that actually came to me and told me some things that preacher was talking about that I pointed out were wrong, and now she's not going to that church anymore. So anyways, I'm hoping and praying that there's been a little bit of a reprieve, because I have children, grandchildren, that type of a thing, and I know the end is coming, and it's going to be Jesus Christ, and it's going to be awesome when we have that 1,000-year millennium and then eternity. But anyway, so that was kind of my thoughts.
Thank you. John, you're exactly right. If you hang on just for a moment, let me make a statement, get your take on it. God is sovereign, absolutely. Heaven rules, absolutely. The sovereignty of God does not, however, negate the free will of man. The free will of man and the sovereignty of God, they're simply like you look at a railroad track, you got the two rails. One is the sovereignty of God, one is the free will of man. For example, go back to the historical roots, the background where the children of Israel wanted to elect a king. They wanted to put a king over them. And God said, no, I'm your king. They insisted they wanted to be like other nations. And in essence, if you could listen from the standpoint of just a young blood vernacular, God said, okay, have it your way. But look at the end results. Today, God is sovereign. God is in the sphere. God does not have a clock or a calendar. He is in the sphere of eternity, past, present, and future, all at one glimpse with God. But God allows man to make decisions, and even those decisions that are wicked, evil, and bad, that's the reason we find the scripture says, all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose. All things are not good, but it winds up being good because of God's sovereignty and God's control over the affairs of man. And so what we saw with the stolen election, with Joe Biden going in office, and it was de facto stolen, and I think in the next few years, as Trump is in office, we will see the facts of the stolen election and how we have gone through an era of 4 years of an illegal presidency that has led us to the brink of destruction as a nation because of the socialist, Marxist, communist agenda of that which is called the Democratic Party. So we're in a position now to see God again divinely intervene and deliver us from the evil that is on the horizon if the Socialist Marxist Communist Party called the Democrats have their way and trying to prevent Trump from being inaugurated on January the 20th. So, John, you're right. It deserves our prayer. It deserves our attention, and our priority must be on the focus of God, asking God to intervene. And the way that takes place, John, in the hearts and the lives of every listener, we need to understand we need to get back to the Bible, get back in a church, find a church where expository preaching is verse by verse, chapter by chapter, where godly music is being sung so that it praises God, get back to the study of the Word, get back to worship in the Scripture, and honoring God through His church, and not the quote, a new way and redefining how to do church. I believe we need to get back to the fundamentals. John, you're exactly right, brother.
And it's interesting how, with all the stuff that was going on, truth prevailed.
Yes.
No matter how bad it was getting, truth prevailed in such a big way that truth prevailed, that it's showing that I am in control. I do know what's going on. And unfortunately, we do have a sinful nature because, you know, God didn't create at first. He didn't create a government. He created a family. Wow, what a dysfunctional family.
Yes, God created the God created the home, God created government, God created the church, and in that order, and he created each to honor him and to obey him and to serve him. One of the problems we have, if I can tuck this in before we let you go, one of the problems is the government has forgotten that God created civil government as a servant for God. And we're finding today where the mindset of government is that we, the people, should be the servants to government, and government should have their way regardless of what God's Word says. Therein lies the problem. But, John, thank you so much for your call. We're looking forward to what God will do if we keep looking up during the course of the year that is before us. Thank you for your call, and God bless you. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I have a question and a comment, but I'd like to comment on what you and Dr. Phelps said about the church needs to return to its roots, that before it became so woke and it began to embrace same-sex marriage and homosexuality, it created some of the finest universities in the world. I just wonder what happened. But also, Dr. Youngblood, do you think that Trump will bring some kind of understanding with Korea, North Korea? What they're doing is getting us in sights for their nuclear weapons to where they can deliver weapons right to Washington, D.C. or all our major cities or major military installations. How long are we going to put up with that? How long is that they're going to hold us hostage? Because that little nation with highly accurate nuclear weapons, that's a hard thing to defend against. You're going to be reduced to rubble by a little despot. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's no question about it. In fact, I'm looking at a headline that says, former FBI assistant director warns terrorists are well embedded in the United States of America. So it's not just from the outside of what Korea can do. Kim Jong-fool has been on the move for many years now. At least Trump had had a relationship with him that there could be conversation. And I believe with Trump back in the office, that'll cool it to a degree. But we're witnessing today the major, major move that I believe is on the horizon with the North Korea trying to take full control of South Korea. I don't know about the recent crash of the plane that had taken place there. Don't know the cause or the effect. I have some questions in my mind, but I believe you're exactly right. We're witnessing today on a global basis what I would call the glue coming apart. And everything that at one time we saw as normal, natural, and smooth sailing is right now on the verge of total eruption. And I believe it's been set that way by demons, and the source of that is Satan's battle against good and against God. And we're witnessing how the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, called the Democrats on the left, have so set it up that when Trump walks into office, I believe we have the risk of an implosion financially, implosion globally, and implosion in every aspect of life and living for America. I believe they've, as I would use the term, they've booby-trapped every agency under the federal government, and they're waiting to see it crumble on Donald J. Trump. Tom, I'm thankful for your call, for your insight and your direction. Our time is about gone for today, but thank you so much for your call, and God bless you, and keep looking up. By the way, Happy New Year to you and your family. Thank you so much
for
your call. Dr. Phelps, wrap us up. What are some of the things that are practical advice, priorities that you can give our listeners?
I believe that we as Christians need to evaluate what God has said in His Word about our attitude toward God, toward the world, and there needs to be a repentance on our part.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel, a man of God in the Old Testament scriptures, was a man who, when he prayed, simply confessed sin.
Yes.
That was the biggest thing in his prayer life. Mm-hmm. He confessed the sins of the nation. He could confess them by saying, "We have done
we've sinned.
Daniel 9, verse 5, for example, "We have sinned, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." And the last part of that statement is a reference to the scriptures. We've simply turned away from the Word of God.
Absolutely. And Dr. Phelps, I'm looking at a headline. We'll wrap it up with this. Christian America at the crossroads. Despite Donald J. Trump's stunning re-election victory, America remains engaged in what amounts to an ongoing civilization war. A war not merely political in nature, but cultural, ideological, philosophical, and ultimately spiritual. A long-term struggle between forces of decency, morality, and sanity on one side, and astonishing deception and evil on the other side. So it deserves our prayer and our seeking God. Exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Terry often struggled with anger. In fact, it was so explosive, he knew his wife wanted to leave.
Lonnie Berger, author of Everything.